Hello, my name is Elijah David Mercer, 12th Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation outside of Chicago. And the Elgin Texas today is August 10th, 2023, or it is 8/24/2027. We will start our first service today with a song, and then we'll go into a sermon. Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, help of the dying. Let them in pity from sin and the grave. Before the erring one lifts up the fallen, tell them of Yahshua the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Though they are striding him, still he is waiting, waiting a faith in the child to receive. He bid them earnestly, he bid them gently, give it, give it their only relief. Rescue the patient, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, still he's not buried, that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken, the fabric once more. Rescue the patient, cared for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. Rescue the perishing, beauty demands it. Strength for thy labor, hell will provide. Back through the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Rescue the patient, care for the dying. Yahshua is merciful, Yahshua will save. The river of Ezekiel's vision, they're going to go in to take him from the Shepherd Rod book. It's the last sermon, and it's by B.G. Holler. It says, it was previously explained that Zechariah's prophecy is applicable to the church in the time of that cry. Thus it becomes present truth, what we quote from the Zechariah 12:8, and that day shall the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is people among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Before the great multitude of the Revelation 7:9, for the church in her purity, let's do that again. For the Seventh-day Adventist church in her purity is represented by the 144,000 that the Yahshua, the Son, having come from heaven and with the second time, a second Advent, he comes to the threshold of the Adventist church and he starts the proceeding of calling the 144,000 out of her midst. So it says, for the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Purity is called by the Scriptures as the house of the David. Therefore, this term becomes one of the names of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the time of the Lord Christ. Thus the church with this name shall be as Yahweh before the people. For the name here is the same as in the Exodus 7:1. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God unto the Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet, servant, that is. Thou shalt represent my person and act like the Yahweh by the requiring obedience unto thy commands, and by the punishing disobedience, but such punishment as none but Yahweh can inflict, unto which end thou shalt have my omnipotent assistance. This is the commission for the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the time of the harvest with the new name, now signed at the 12th hour, shall everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the tabernacle of David, that Yahshua has raised up that had fallen down. And that's the prophecy is in Amos 9, where Yahshua himself came and he raised up the tabernacle of David. And that tabernacle was in the form of harvesting 144,000, the prophets and priests and kings, as the first fruits harvest from the Adventist Church. For the Apostle Peter was vested with such divine power when he said, Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto the Yahweh. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And it is about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said unto her, Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and tearing her forth, buried her by her husband. And Acts chapter 5, verse 4, 5, 7, 9, and 10. For in that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of the David. And that's at the day that we're in now, the 12th parabolic hour, judgment of the living. We're in looking at the first harvest of the 144,000, first harvest out of the Adventist Church, and unto the inhabitants of the Adventist for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Note that this fountain is able to wash away two things, first sin and second uncleanness. What is the difference between the one and the other? Sin is the transgression of the law, 1 John 3:4. And the result of sin is the decay of the body. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When any man hath a running issue out of his flesh because of his issue, he is unclean. Leviticus 15:10. For the biblical term for sickness is uncleanness, also taking into the body in the form of food of that which is forbidden by the word of Yahweh. It is the transgression of the law and corruption of the body, uncleanness. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, said Yahweh, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. 2 Corinthians 6:17. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of the Yahshua and of his father Yahweh. Let no man deceive you with the vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of Yahweh upon the children of the disobedient. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. And the Yahweh walk as the children of the light and have no fellowship with the unfruitful workers of the darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5:5-8-11. For the Yahweh is able to heal the soul and the body. Actually, this is Yahshua that's actually in charge of his kingdom. This is actually Yahshua, the Son, talking. So I'm going to revert to that. For the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is able to heal the soul and the body. But he will not heal the latter before he has healed the former. Sin first, then uncleanness. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Ezekiel 36:29. For the power that is able to wash away the filthiness of any man is open unto the house of David, and unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and is represented by the fountain of the Zechariah's prophecy. For the Ezekiel says, in the 25th year of our captivity, and in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, and the selfsame day the hand of the Yahshua was upon me and brought me thither. Ezekiel 40:1. As recorded in the 47th chapter, Ezekiel was shown in the vision as certain particulars of the temple building some years before the Israelites were made free from the Babylonian captivity. It has been previously explained that the temple erected after their captivity was a type of this particular church in the time of the last tribe, the house of David. Therefore, the river coming out from the temple, according to Ezekiel's vision, is applicable at this time and is but the expansion of this fountain that is to be in the house of David, the purified church. From this fountain flows the mighty river seen in the Ezekiel's vision, Counsels on Health, page 210. Thus far we have explained the application of this fountain, the place and the time, also that the mighty river seen in the Ezekiel vision flows from it. Now we shall study the meaning of this mighty river. Ezekiel 47:1. Afterwards he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, where the forefront of the house stood toward the east. The waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. As the waters came from the south side of the altar and then went toward the east, it shows clearly that it proceeded from the north, which symbolically denotes that whatever the meaning of the waters may be, they come from the throne of the Yahweh, for it is in the sides of the north. Isaiah 14:14, Psalms 48:2, Psalm 75:6. While Ezekiel's attention was turned to the interior, where the first side, where he first saw the waters, he said, then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. through, for the waters were unto the loins. Afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters are swimming, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, liveth wherever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live, whether the river cometh, and it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from the Engedi, even unto an Eglion, it shall be a place to spread forth nets. The fish shall be according unto their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many, but the myriad places thereof and the Mauritius thereof shall not be healed. And they shall be given unto salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat whose leaf shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth the new fruit according unto his month, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for the medicine. Ezekiel 47:2-12. It will be noticed that as Ezekiel first saw the waters by the side of the altar, they were of a little significance in comparison with that which he saw outside the gate, as the tiny rivulet immediately swelled into a mighty river. For it represents something of the very rapid growth, for these waters denote the same as the waters in the Revelation 17:50, peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. For the angel said unto the Ezekiel, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed, Ezekiel 47:8. Therefore these waters represent a very great multitude which no man could number, that shall be healed from sin and disease, save in the time of the loud cry, through the ministry of the house of the David, the purified church. As the Ezekiel could not swim this river, for this symbol is in the perfect harmony with the Revelation 7:9. A great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. Note that the reason the waters are here is because they are brought forth into the sea. If the mighty river represents the same on the earth, then the sea must be a symbol of the sinless world and inhabitants and the universe of Yahweh. As the river is brought into the sea, it denotes that the same shall come into contact with the eternal nations who know not sin. And being brought forth, we must be healed before we meet each other. For the fact of this symbol proves that this is the false or the last section of the Yahweh's church, the purified church that shall be translated without the purified house of David church that shall be translated without the taste of death. Get ready, get ready, get ready. We are now standing on the winds of the eternity. life that shall never cease. For the waters that make up this mighty river represent a multitude of the saints endowed with the healing power from the throne of Yahweh. For the word says, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. Ezekiel 49:47-9, last part. For this healing is not indefinite, but permanent. For we read, and it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live eternally. After the angel had measured 3 times 1,000 cubits, says he, Ezekiel, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and told me to return unto the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other, and by the river up on the bank thereof, said the angel, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for me, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according unto his month, because their waters are issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for the meat, and the leaf thereof for the medicine. Ezekiel 47:6, verse 7 and 12. For the value of the leaves and the fruit of these trees is identically the same as the tree of the life, according to Revelation 22:2. And on the other side of the river was the tree of the life, which bare 12 manner of the fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. What significance is that the church of the Yahweh, house of David, is endowed with the power from the throne to offer life eternal with no taste of the death unto those who accept the truth. There you have it, right there. Okay, and are willing to become a part of this mighty river. As this is the only section of the Yahweh's church that has been granted the authoritative gospel of the permanent healing and life everlasting, the word declares, he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of the David shall be as the Yahweh, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Okay. And there shall be a very great multitude of the fish, because these waters shall come thither. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon from Engedi even unto Enneagram. For their fish shall be according unto their kind, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Ezekiel 47:9. The fish represents those who are to be converted unto the purified church of the David River. And everything shall live where the river cometh. Ezekiel 47:9. For the ministry is symbolized as the fishers, and Yahshua said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Mark 1:17. For the apostles at one time left the gospel net and ceased to be the fishers of men, as they went fishing for game, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Yahshua stood on the shore. Then the Yahshua said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. For they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. John 21:3-6. Success never fails when the command of the master is obeyed. If the ministry had been constantly inquiring of the Yahshua where and how to cast the net, there would have been a multitude of the fish converts and never a lack of the meat. Mean, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east. Ezekiel 47:1. For the position of the house proves that it represents a true worship. For this, Yahweh's chosen people were translated to build their temple, Israel. For the Israel worship, Yahweh with their backs toward the east to remind them that they should have no respect for the sun worship and idolatry. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Ezekiel 47:8. It is remarkable to note how perfect these symbols are in each instance. It says that this direction of the compass denotes that the message of the loud cry is to start eastward when it is first revealed. For the Adventist Church membership being largely east of California and across the Atlantic, naturally, the message must start toward the east. This symbolical prophecy reveals that the message of the loud cry is to originate in California, thus fulfilling the prophetic words of the spirit of prophecy in a letter and the elder E.E. Andrews. I feel confident, Elder Andrews, that the brethren in Southern California will find a blessing in the reviewing of the teachings of the scripture concerning the 144,000 and bringing to bear upon these teachings whatever light there may be in the published writings of the spirit of prophecy. And as prayerfully consideration, and as the prayerful consideration is given the matter in all its bearing, I believe that the Yahweh will make the truth sufficiently clear for the to make possible the avoidance of the needless and unprofitable question, not vital, for the salvation of the precious soul. For the east, then, the biblical direction of idolatry, it also signifies that the message is headed toward the conversion of the sinners and destruction of idolatry. And it shall come to pass in that day, said the Yeshua of the host, that's the Son, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. Zechariah 13:2. For the angel measured 4 times 1,000 cubits eastward, 1,000, 10 times 100. Why 4 times 1,000? Why not more or less? It has been previously explained that number 10 is a symbol of the universal, and the number 4 completeness of the earth are the 4 points of the compass. Thus, it symbolically denotes that the message is worldwide, and while it starts toward the east, it spreads from pole to pole and encircles the earth completely. 10 times 100 equals 1,000, 4 times, in the perfect harmony with the words of the Yahshua. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24:14. But the marketplaces thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed, for they shall be given unto the salt. Ezekiel 47:11. or the Martian, and the manifestation represents denominations and sects separate of the mighty river, and that they shall not be saved or healed. Turn to Saul, means eternally loved, as was Lot's wife, and as it was in the days of the Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise also, as it was in the days of the Lot, remember Lot's wife, Luke 17:26, 28:32, and shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from the injury even unto the Egregium. They, the two cities, shall be a place for the spreading forth nets, Ezekiel 40:17. These two cities reveal that the fish are caught in the two places, Engedi, Esti, a church with 144,000 are gathered, and the first fruits, and Eglium is Babylon, or the world where the great multitude of Revelation 7:9 are gathered. The diagram on the chart, page 294, represents the Esti church, Engedi, as it becomes the house of the David, the purified church, and the place with 144,000, I might add, and the place of the river in Eglion denotes the world, for the stream from the fountain where it first starts into the east gate represents 144,000, and the river stands for the great multitude. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of Yahweh, as the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High, for the Yahweh is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Actually, it said Yahshua, the Son, is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, for Yahshua shall help her, the Son, and that right early, Psalms 46:4-5. All right, that's the end of Ezekiel 47, River. Praying that everyone that hears this will receive a blessing from it. We have another appended here subject. It's entitled Justification by the Faith, and what is it? But we have learned that it's faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the new and living way of your Yahshua, and that's in Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, and other places in Hebrews 12:18-24, and Romans 3:24-25. There's a lot of places in the Bible that teach the plan of salvation of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua, which is, has to be taught as the everlasting gospel in these last days unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Okay, justification by the faith in the blood of Yahshua, and what is it? Oh, the blessing written in the preceding chapter, or apprehended in the following. Though this most important subject is the simplest of all biblical truths, it has been widely confused and largely misunderstood. For the example of the one man's experience and the things of Yahweh and his justification by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua should clear the widespread confusion and remove the veil that has been drawn over the eyes of the faithful, for that also which is of the faith of the Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is written, I have made thee a father of the many nations before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:16-17. When the method pursued by the Abraham is followed, then and then only can any one of us be justified by the blood of Yahshua, and that's in Romans chapter 5, verse 9-11. There is no other way. And if you be the Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed, and heirs according unto the promise. Galatians 3:29. I'll read that again. And if you belong unto the Yahshua, the Son, if you're of the bloodline of Yahshua through the house of David, through the bloodline of David, then you are also of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through those three there. And then you become heirs according unto the promise, Galatians 3:29. If you were the Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, John 8:39. Let us take notice of the Abraham's faith experience in justification. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Yahshua, look unto the rock. This rock is a symbol of Yahshua, whence ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, Isaiah 51:1-2. In the following, it will be noticed that Abraham responded without the hesitation unto Yahweh's all that he commanded him to do. Now the Yahweh said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. So the Abraham departed as the Yahweh had spoken unto him. And the Yahweh appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there building he an altar unto the Yahweh, who appeared unto him. Genesis 12:1-7. And the Yahweh said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest. Unto thee will I give it, and unto thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram moved his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in the Hebron, and built there an altar unto Yahweh. Genesis 13:14-18. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man shall among you shall be circumcised. And Abraham took Ishmael his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on the selfsame day, as Yahweh had said unto him. Genesis 17:9-10:23. And Yahweh said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondman. And all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her Lord. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of the water and gave it unto the Hagar, putting it and it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. Genesis 21:12-14. And then it came to pass, after these things that the Yahweh did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and subtle as Isaac, 32 of his young men, with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which Yahweh had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in the order, and found Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand before the lad. Now the desire to take unto him, for thou art Lord God, fierce, Yahweh, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And the angel Yahweh called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time, and it said that, By myself have I sworn unto the Yahweh, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in the blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22, 1 to 3, 9 to 12. 15 to 18. For the Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of the Yahweh. James 2:23. By simply doing the things that Yahweh asked of him, he obtained this record, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, set my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Genesis 26:5-4. Having childlike faith in the word and doing all that Yahweh has said is the only sanctification and righteousness that is to Yahshua. Such are the children of Abraham, and to them is the promise. They openly declare that the blood of Yahshua has the power to save them from the bondage of sin and from the condemnation of the law. They shall inherit the land forever and ever. These are the Israel of the Yahweh. There are no others, and this only is through the righteousness and sanctification by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Hebrews 10:19-20, Romans 3:24-25, Hebrews 12:18-24, Hebrews 13:28. Hebrews 11:28. There are no others, and this only is a righteousness and sanctification by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Hebrews 10. The whole chapter, especially verse 19 and 20. This brings the end of our study now for Ezekiel 47 River. Okay, now let's finish our study with Zechariah chapter 4. It's in the Shepherd Rod, also page 283. By the Beit Yehoshua, talking about the two olive trees, or the antithetical symbols of the second temple. The temple were shown unto Zechariah in a vision and recorded in the fourth chapter of his prophecy as follows. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me, as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of the gold, with the bowl upon the top bit, and the seven lamps on, and seven pipes unto the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my master? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my master. Then the angel, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Yahweh unto the Zerubbabel. That was Zerubbabel, the governor of Judea, coming out of captivity, from the Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem, rebuild Jerusalem. Governor Zerubbabel was their governor, saying, Not by the might nor by the power, but by my spirit, saith the Yahshua of the host. So this is actually Yahshua talking here now. So let's back up a little bit and said, And I said, No, my master didn't answer and spake unto me. This is the word of the Yahshua, the Son, unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Yahshua of the host. This is Yahshua talking to Zechariah, the son. And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches, which brought the two golden pipes empty, the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou what these be? And I said, No, my master. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Yeshua of the whole earth. Zechariah 4, 1 to 6, 12 to 14. Thus the word of Yahweh is represented by the symbol. Therefore, the interpretation of them is for the revealing of the manner that the community of the communicating of the word of the Yahweh unto the Zerubbabel, not unto the Zerubbabel that was engaged in the building of the typical temple. I thought it was. For he was orally instructed by the prophet Zechariah and Haggai. Therefore, as the significance of these prophetic symbols were not understood by them, they must be applicable unto those who are to be engaged in the building of the antithetical or spiritual temple church as it was previously explained. For each one of these symbols must be separately deciphered by the uncontradictory evidence, and their significance must constitute the method by which Yahweh is to communicate His word unto His servant. It has been previously stated that all the books of the Bible meet and end in the book of the Revelation. Therefore, the revelation of the Zechariah prophecy must be found there also. For we quote the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches, Revelation 1:20. It will be noticed that the messages to the seven churches are not addressed to the candlestick, the church as a body, but unto the angel sent, and unto the angel of the church of the letter sent right, Revelation 3:14. This angel is not a heavenly angel, for he is at fault under the condemnation about to dispute out. That's what happened to Brother Stephen Johnson, Gilead Center, 2002, 2003. The angel Yahweh came down and visited the Gilead Center at Passover, and he started the procedure of removing Brother Johnson, and by the atonement, Brother Johnson was moved out as the leader of the Gilead Center. Except he repent. It is this angel who has the charge of the candlestick. So it's this angel at the time. In 2002, at Gilead Center, Brother Johnson was this angel who was in charge of the candlestick church. Therefore, the seven angels denote the leadership of the seven churches, and the candlesticks are the symbols of the seven churches. As the churches in this instance are symbolized by the candlestick, therefore the candlestick in the Zechariah's vision denotes the purified church as a body. For the revelation of the olive tree is found in the 11th chapter of the Revelation, and the fourth verse. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing for the Yahweh of the earth. For the olive trees and the two candlesticks are the two witnesses, Revelation 11:3. Okay, it says Zechariah also states that these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Yahshua of the whole earth, the Son. Zechariah 4:14. Therefore, these two olive trees and the two candlesticks are inseparable. For they both stand by the Yeshua of the whole earth. The two candlesticks in this instance represent Yahweh's church and the two sessions. And each one has an olive tree. The angel interprets them to Zechariah as the word of the Yahweh under the robe. Therefore, the two candlesticks represent the Old and the New Testament churches, Jewish and Apostolic. And two olive trees are symbols of the Old and New Testament Bible as the word of the Yahweh under the rubble. For these two witnesses shall prophesy 1,264 days, from 538 A.D. to 1798 A.D., those in the sackcloth, Revelation 11:3. For the two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, read Controversy, page 267. Thus, we have a candlestick for each of the two sessions of the Yahweh's church. While the scriptures were being written, one candlestick and one olive tree to the Jewish, and one candlestick and one olive tree for the apostles, and 70 candlesticks for the remaining history of the church until the time of the separation of the tares from the wheat, or unto the commencement of the harvest. Thus, the candlestick church in the Zechariah's vision is the 10th denoting and universal the church. We have that 10th candlestick here at the Mount the 12th hour with the Elijah David, depicting the living church that shall come, that shall unite with all the saints since the world began, which will join with the church of the entire universe of the Yahweh. This candlestick in the Zechariah's vision is a glorious one, which in the comparison all others stand as a nothing, in the perfect harmony with the second temple, which in the comparison at first stood as the nothing. Okay, the two golden pipes now, the two olive trees. True then, the candlestick represents the church. The Seventh-day Adventist church today. And the two olive trees, the Old and New Testament scriptures. Now, what be these two golden pots which empty the golden ore out of themselves? Fully quoted testimony for the church, volume 7, page 249. For the inner lamp must be supplied with the oil that flows then from the messengers of the heaven to the golden tubes and to the golden bowl, for the Yahweh's communication never comes to man in the vain. Therefore, the two golden pipes that empty the golden oil into the golden bowl are the Yahweh's messengers of the inspiration. Messengers of the inspiration, to whom present truth is revealed. There is that present truth. And we're the one revealing present truth today. And the only true interpreters of the scriptures, for the oil represents the revealed word of Yahweh from the Bible as it is explained through his appointed servant, and the bowl describes the publication under which these revelations are compiled. This is the testimony of Yahshua, the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 12, 17, 19, and 10, for the revelation which John received is called the testimony of Yahshua. See Revelation 1, 9. Therefore, the testimony of Yahshua is also called the spirit of the prophecy, because his testimony is with the revelation only by the Holy Spirit through the human channel. This scripture interpreted by the inspiration, it is the only testimony that can be the testimony of Yahshua, truth without the error. Seven lamps. If the candlestick represents the church as a body, then the seven lamps there on must denote the sisterhood of the churches scattered throughout the denomination. That would be the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist. But the biblical number of the completeness takes in the entire movement as a whole. This fact is also proven by the following quotation. When the anointed one empties themselves through the golden pipe, the oil flows out of themselves into the golden bowl that flow into the lamp. The church's testimonies, the ministers, page 337 by Ellen G. White. And now we have the seven, we bring the seven golden tubes, but this brings in our state, this is our contest, this is the 11th hour promise, number 11, click on our audio or the room, close now with a song.
King of my life, I crown thee now, and thine shall the glory be. Lest thou forget thy thorn crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest thou forget Gethsemane, lest thou forget thy agony, lest thou forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourn and wept. Angels in rows of light array, guardeth thee while thou slayest. Lest thou forget Gethsemane, lest thou forget agony, lest thou forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with the gift to thee. sure to be now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thine agony. Lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May I be ready to bear daily my life cross for thee. Even the cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.